Welcome to Get Some D. We're a chronically single 28-year-old, childless, straight gal,
and a 41-year-old, bisexual, married lady with two kids
talk about sex, dating, and relationships.
Welcome to Get Some D. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Dee.
This is our podcast, so I guess I'll go first. I am a 41-year-old white female. I own a adult lifestyle boutique, but it's different. It's like very female forward, lots of nice toys and things, but they're like non-toxic and good for you. And why did I do this?
Because there's already enough toxic people in the world, so you want non-toxic.
You don't want toxic stuff in your bed. I don't know. Why do I want to do this? I am just super, super comfortable with like sex and sexuality, and I have a deep desire to like help other people where I can. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my comfortability around sexuality is like an asset, like it's a good thing. So I like to spread that around. And it's pretty different. So I'm over 10 years older than you. Mm-hmm.
No, 13, but who's counting?
13 years older than me, my goodness. And I'm married and I have two kids. Mm-hmm. So pretty different. And I grew up in a pretty different situation than you. Mm-hmm. Unstable, crazy parents.
Yeah.
And you?
And Merle's here and Rocky's here. We got cats and dogs everywhere.
Yes. I'm also a huge animal lover. So I've got like a dog and three cats. And if my husband would let me, I would totally get like a miniature Highland cow and have a house cow. But he is really, that's a hard no. So I think I just have to show up with him. Mm-hmm.
That is in another episode. So now you're going to say it two times in like four episodes. Give me a cow.
Really? Like, I need a cow.
All right. At Stew, cat, please. Okay, I'm Deanna. I'm 28, and I'm a straight white female, basic. And I don't want to say chronically single because that sounds like a diagnosis, but I've never been in anything super long term. Part of it's because I'm very picky, and part of it's because I have standards. That's a better way to say it. And sometimes I have a little bit of anxious attachment style, but I'm working through it, and I'm definitely more secure than I was. So I feel like now is the time to get into something more serious. I own a business. It's called Vitamin D. I'm telling you as if you don't know, but everyone else. I help women with their confidence around intuitive eating, body image, and anything else that's taboo. I help women with like period problems. I help people with digestion if they are nervous to talk about like poop, periods, or problems. I love all the things. I like that combination. And yeah, I get women away from fad dieting and thinking keto and the next diet is going to be the answer, and help them tune into what's actually good and satiating for them. And now I'm turning into talking more about feminine energy, which part of it is, you know, finding things that are pleasurable for them. So food is part of that. And so is sex and relationships with other people in your life and tons of other things. So this aligns really well. Yeah, I also own or founded, whatever you want to call it, a women's networking collective. So if you're around the Brantford area, come join us. And we do events around every month so that I can network with other women and they can do the same to help refer to one another and collaborate. I love collaborating with other small businesses. So Cassie, you are one of them. And
yes,
if anyone else wants to do a collaboration, I would love to. I love running workshops. And there's a chance I'm going back to school, but we will not put that out there yet as to what, in case I decide not to. But there's a chance. I've already done 6 years. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, why not? You should.
Why not? Go for it.
Apply. I think that I didn't mention that my store is called Get Some, hence Get Some D.
Get it, everyone? Vitamin D.
Ha, ha, ha.
Get Some.
A little on the nose, but that's okay.
So you've been with your partner for 18 years, yeah?
18 years, yeah.
And I'm 28. So this is why we differ a lot.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I think that I was like always searching for like that person. And I didn't always use like healthy boundaries. And I mean, I was very selective, I would say, about my partners, but I don't think I was selective in like a very intelligent way. You know what I mean? Like
you wrote them off for things that don't matter and then you kept the ones for.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it just, some of the people I would keep around were not, not healthy. And I think that goes back to where we come from, right? Like my parents are divorced. They got divorced when I was like 11. And it was messy. It was messy, messy. You know, and they were not wealthy people. Like I did not have like a healthy relationship with my father. So I mean, I'm sure any therapist will probably tell you that's exactly why I end up, you know what I mean, searching for that connection with men for so long. But yeah, I can't remember where I was going with that. But yeah, I guess that's one of the things that makes us pretty different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my upbringing, my parents are still together. They're 34 years, 30, how old is it? Yeah, around 34 years married. So definitely a different upbringing. They were like not super wealthy when I was young. And then they ended up being like, I don't even know, medium high income. I don't know what they're not like loaded, but they definitely, as I grew up, became more financially, what's the word, fluent, I suppose. So yeah, I think that's definitely a big factor of having two parents who are married and watching that. Obviously, you see disagreements. They're not like the perfect.
No
one is, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they always choose each other. So that's definitely something to look up to. Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about sexuality or no?
Like how I,
like,
because
that,
you're straight.
Right.
And you're pretty sure you're straight.
Yeah. I can talk about it.
You're like, oh, I am 95% straight.
I say 99.
You say 99?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember I said 95, but.
Yeah. And I am a people, not parts person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Though I predominantly had male relationships. I'm down with women too. I just, it's a personality thing, you know, because I can find, I think I'm just more honest about it than most people are. I think like people are attractive and I can tell, yes, like that person's attractive, this person's not attractive, whatever. Not to me, they may not be whatever, you know, everybody has their own flavor, but it's a personality thing. Even if you lined up everybody that I've dated in the past, like you would not technically, you wouldn't see a pattern in how they looked. You know what I mean? Like tall guys, short guys, you know, red hair, blonde hair, dark hair, like, you know, yeah. And like, as for the women I've been attracted to, like really tall blonde, short brunette, like it doesn't, it's just a personality thing, you know. But that's really, yeah. But growing up, that was, I didn't really, I mean, I just knew that that's how it was for me, but where I grew up is a very small town. And in like the 90s, like it still was not acceptable. Like, you know, if two girls, let's say at a slumber party, kissed or something, you know, whole school would know about it later. And then like, they would be like ostracized, like, you know, everybody's talking about them. Oh, you're a lesbian. Like, and you're dirty and they make fun of you and stuff. So, I mean, nobody wants that. So,
yeah,
you know, so like, you just, I don't know, you don't, at the time, you just don't let people know that about you.
Yeah. For sure. I would almost debate that that small town is not debate, but I would almost say that that small town, you know, 30 years later is still 30 years behind.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Like, I think the best thing, and now my mom, if she listens to this, she's going to, she's not a woman that would say, I told you so, but but I know she would smile to hear me say it, is like one of the best things she ever did was move us away from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time I was really upset about it, just because that's all I knew. And I remember when she moved us to Brantford, I actually cried in the moving van, and I was like 16, so it was super fucking dramatic. And oh my God, was I ever, I was sobbing and I was like, why would you bring me here? Like I was like, this place is a fucking dirt hole. But to be fair, we drove in and this was in like, I don't know, 1998, I want to say. So we drove in through Old West Brant, which was fine. And then like, as soon as we hit the downtown, I was like, what fresh hell is this? I was like, why the fuck would you bring me from this town with these big old oak trees and these tree-lined streets to this fucking cesspool? Now, I don't feel like that so much about the city now, but at the time, yeah, I was like super upset and I was very vocal about it. So, you know, mom, if you hear this, it was the best thing, I think, just to get me out of that small town hick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a hick, I'm sorry, but you know, it was very like racist place,
yeah,
very like homophobic place to be, just very stuck in the past. So I'm very happy to not be there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because environment has such a play on people and how they turn out. Like, imagine you moved all those people from that city to another city. Like, they wouldn't be the same. Like, they're just, I mean, I think some people are inherently assholes, but I think a lot of that has to do with like nurture versus nature. I don't think they're like, you know, they didn't come out of the womb and be like, I'm racist, you know? It's like that, like, yeah, sure, yeah. Some people can be less open-minded and stuff like that, but if they didn't live there and be surrounded by that shit all the time, like, yeah, they could be completely different people. We need to like excavate all the small towns. That's not maybe the word, but just it should be. You move this way, you move that way. Like, let's just give this town a little minute, and then you can come back together.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's born racist, and nobody's born homophobic.
Right.
Those are things that are taught to you by, you know, your parents, the other adults around you. Those are learned things. I do believe that people are just born with certain like personality kind of trait. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're just a certain way that they're going to be, and that's just how it is. But there are definitely other things that are learned.
Yeah.
And those are my two big ones. And you know, I even heard it from my own grandfather, and I know my mom. She used to like, she could shoot daggers with those eyes because he would use like these racist, homophobic terms as like in joking. Like, I will never even repeat the things he has said. And just like the look that my mom would give him, I was like, oh my God, definitely bad. Because my mom was like, you know, I would watch movies with like drag queens in it before it was like a super mainstream thing. I watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was probably about 10 years old, which, I mean, maybe somebody would call CAS on her now for that, but I mean, it was just, I didn't understand any of the sexual nature of the movie. I just thought it was really fun, and I just love these kooky people. You know, she was very like, Madonna had come out with a book called Erotica, and I didn't get to look at the book, but I know my parents had it, and you know, it was just kind of a very like welcoming kind of environment with my mom. So I think she probably felt very stifled there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a big reason why she wanted to move. But I think my mom always kind of knew that I was fluid, like that I, you know, I could go either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably told you the story. I don't know. But we're watching this movie, and it was a big deal in like the 80s and early 90s. I think it was Iron Eagle movies. Anyway, it was lame, but I loved it. So there's like this beginning scene where this person's being tortured, and you only see the back of them. And this person has long hair, but like great ass. And you know, they're all chained up and whatever, and they're like, these soldiers are like, like yelling at them, and you know, and I was like, whoa, I'm like nice butt. And then the camera pans around and it's a woman, and I was like, oh, my mom was like, it's okay, like there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, like that's cool, all right. So I was definitely from a young age taught it like, it's fine, like there's nothing wrong, like she didn't make a big deal of it, and like we have to have a conversation about this, because mm-hmm. I think that when you do that, I think it almost makes it like more uncomfortable for the kid. But just knowing that like it's fine, like it's normal, like you're normalizing it.
Yeah.
I think was really helpful
mm-hmm.
to me for sure. Like I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with me, but because of where I lived, I knew that we couldn't, like I kind of had to keep that part of me concealed.
Yeah. When did you come out, like whatever, in Brantford, were you like,
no, I never really felt the need.
Yeah.
Like
not that it's like, you know, hello, I am coming out now, but you know, like was there a time where you like told your friends and family like, okay, just so you know?
I never sat anyone down and they had a big conversation. I was just like, you know, I like people, not parts, you know. I mean, like Stu had already kind of knew about it. Like their wife worked at this bar in town, and one of the other women that worked there, like we would make out pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like he kind of already had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think I ever, like, I don't know. I'm not a person that likes to make a big, like, okay, we're all going to sit everyone down and we're going to have this really serious conversation about my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that? I don't know. If other people want to do that, that's okay. And if that's mm-hmm. your way and that's what's going to make you feel most comfortable and whatever, that's cool. But for me, it was never like a...
Yeah, I think that comes back to, and I don't know, because I never have had to do that, but I think that comes back to like your mom making it normal right away. So I have friends that were like super scared to tell their religious parents, and or people's parents who are not religious, and they use that as a reason to be like, that's wrong. And it's like, you haven't been to church in 12 years. Like, you're going to try to use religion as like a reason
to.
I had a lot of friends who came out to their parents as bisexual, pansexual, gay, whatever it is. And multiple of them did not have good experiences. But I mean, they range and they get along with their parents now. But I also hear of their friends who do not talk to their parents at all because they're not supported at all. So in that case, I think they almost need to sit them down. So I don't want to like underplay that. Not that you were underplaying it, because that's your experience. But I think there's times where, you know, like they're just so nervous. It's like, how else am I supposed to like let this part of me out, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was definitely because of the way my mom approached it that mm-hmm. I didn't really feel that need. But I mean, I get it. And I feel heartbroken for these people because I don't like having kids. I will tell you that there is pretty much nothing my kids could do that I would be like, you need to like never come back and never speak. Like I could cry right now just to think that a parent could ever turn their child away because mm-hmm. they're like, they don't accept their sexuality or something about them. I would tell you my kids could come home and be like, mom, I like, you know, did this bad thing or whatever. And I'd be like, all right, like, let me like help you out or whatever. Like I would burn down an entire city for my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no, like, I might not always like agree with what they've done or whatever, but there's nothing they could do that would make me not speak to them or stop loving them.
Yeah.
Like that's fucked up.
It's super fucked up.
Like I, and, you know, like, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen you almost cry.
Because I can't, like, I've been rejected by my own parent and I know how it feels. And why? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just a kid, and you divorced my mom. So that's so ridiculous mm-hmm. to say to somebody like, you know, you like something that I don't like, so you yeah. can't be a part of my life anymore. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous, and it's so hurtful, and it's not cool. Like you can be my kids. You know, can all be my babies. It's fine.
She already has 4 animals, so she could use some more kids.
Yeah.
2 kids, 4 animals, a couple more kids could live here. There's some couches here.
Yeah, I got couches. I have lots of floor space. They don't have like an air mattress in the downstairs. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No, yes. It is mind-blowing. Anything else you want to say about you
about me?
This podcast?
Well, I'm clearly very, like...
I think you do 90% of the talking. I'm just here for
you just,
more support and the mic.
It's her microphone, people. So that's what I've got her here for.
And it sounds bad. I'm sorry, everyone. We're working on it. We're getting new mics for the next season. We're playing with it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to talk at the same time as you, which we just did there.
No, it's hard because that's how natural conversations go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes people talk at the same time. You just have to get with it. This fucking microphone, man. Like, sorry.
We'll fix it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just as a PSA, some of the future episodes we were recording in a different room, and it is very hollow and, like, squeaky, but we're going to work through it. And it's funny if you listen to it. It's still funny. It's just not the best quality.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my yoga room, mm-hmm. and I have plants in there. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm also a huge plant lover. I like literally growing up, I never thought that I would be a caregiver or be a good caregiver because I was incredibly selfish. I was just all about myself, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But as I grow older, I'm just like, I am bursting with love and I seriously am. And I just have so much, you know, I want to sing to my plants and sing to my pets, and like I don't know, I got a lot of love to spread around.
Mm-hmm. She does. This is true. Do I? I don't know. Who's to say? I keep my plants alive. I love my dog. I love my family. No, don't love any man right now, but maybe one day. Maybe in the series of this podcast, there's a lot of people that come and go in this podcast. You guys will hear. And then this one, oh, and he's gone by the next episode.
What do we got? Chads.
Chads and Nicks. Oh, yeah.
Chads
so
and Nicks.
We should say that. So we've decided if people we claim at the time are a nice guy, we will call them Nick. If we decide that they are a fuckboy or someone we no longer want to associate with, they are Chad. Because we are not going to give away anyone's identity. I don't want to give away anyone's personal shit. And I think most guys that I've talked to and told them I was doing a podcast are shitting themselves. So like, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, listen, Linda, I'm not going to talk about you that much. Simmer down. And when I do, I won't say anything about you that will give you away. I've had the conversation with anyone that I'm like talking to over a few days and just like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I won't say anything. And if you don't want me to say anything at all, like I don't have to, I respect your boundary, but this is something I'm doing. So yeah, we're not going to give away anything too extreme, but
yeah,
they're Nick or Chad.
But I'm always going to talk about Stu or Stuart.
Yeah. So Stuart is her husband.
Stuart is my husband. It may be Stuart Banana. That's like a nickname I've had for him for years. Or Stewie Lou. Yeah.
You did say banana lines are your turn on.
They seriously are.
Stuart Banana. That makes sense.
Yes, he totally. Oh my God. So on our second date, and I call it our first second date because we had our first date and we didn't leave each other. We literally were together for like 3 days. Seriously. Took me out and I didn't sleep with him, which was like
big, for 3 days,
big deal yet. For me. But we slept in the same bed and I'm sure that he was just dying. Like, sorry, not sorry. But I liked him a lot. Isn't it weird that I'm like, I really liked him, so I didn't want to sleep with him right away because I wanted to like see if how things would go. So I spent the night and then the next day we went to the beach. and I got to see them in swim trunks, and I was like, damn, look at that banana muscle. And then he made out with me in the water, and I was like, legs wrapped around it, and mm-hmm. whatever. And then I got to feel his member, and I was like, yep, that's good. I was like, yeah.
Are you going to be okay with you saying that?
Oh, my God, 100%.
I guess it's a good thing, so.
Oh, my gosh. He is pretty, like, open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have sent
his member.
I'll call it Conan.
What?
His dick's name is Conan.
Why? Is that a name?
I've never heard. Conan the Barbarian. You never seen that movie?
Your old member. Is that old movie?
It's not. The original is an old movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, but the new one with Jason Momoa in it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. He, so that one's only a couple years old, but we call his dick Conan.
Interesting. And for anyone who doesn't know, because she made up the term banana muscles, I'm convinced it is the V line. That's what we call it these days. The V, like, goes down to the member.
Oh, probably, but it's the banana muscles. They, like, you could set bananas on them, and they would just, like, be cradled in there very nicely.
But, like, did you make that term up, or is that, like, an old people's?
I don't know.
You know what we should do for an episode? And we should probably cut this soon, but anyways, we should do for an episode is I will give you new lingo and see if you know what any of it means.
I love that, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of things that I have no idea about. I sometimes have to ask my oldest son, who is 20, he'll be 21 in February, and I'm convinced that sometimes he just doesn't want me, that he's just like, Mom, like, no. Like, what was the one ick?
Ick.
I didn't understand what that was. Is that and fupa?
Yeah.
I didn't understand what that was. And I said it to his girlfriend once when we were all swimming in the backyard. And I think she was like, you don't have a fupa? And kind of looked uncomfortable. And I was like, okay. And I had no idea what it meant, fat upper pussy. I had no clue. I thought it meant mummy tummy.
Yeah.
It does not.
It's the same area. And when it's like in a high-waisted jean, it's like, it's looking the same. Is it like your upper pussy area, or is it your stomach? You know what I mean? Like, they're, it's like the same thing.
I just had no idea.
Yeah. I don't think you used it incorrectly. Like, usually people who are just saying, like, they have, like, that area is bigger than they call it a fupa, whether it be your stomach or your upper pussy area. It's, like, it's all the same area, especially when you're wearing high-waisted bottoms. They're all tucked in there the same way, right?
Yeah.
But that's funny.
I absolutely said that to my son's girlfriend, and the look of shock on her face was priceless. Though I didn't understand it at the time. I was like, I'm a moron. Like,
it's kind of like the same as when, it's funny because it's you asking them things, but imagine, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, what's 69 mean to your teacher and stuff? Like, I heard this on the bus. What's this mean, you know? And then it's like you are doing that to your kids instead of them doing it to you. What's sex, Mom? And you're like, what's a fupa, kid?
I think that my poor kids, I shouldn't say my poor kids. I think like they're probably pretty privileged to grow up in a home where where their parents are pretty, I shouldn't say their parents because my husband's actually pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that their mom is just so like,
la la la.
Yeah. I just kind of let it all hang out and, you know.
Yeah.
She's
like a hippie mom.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, last question. And I just blocked out. What was that? Shit. Oh, we were talking about like sitting down and having conversations about like coming out. Did you sit down with your kids and have a sex talk? Because part of what I think is also different about us is like and they better not be fucking listening, but my parents didn't do that with me. And it just like was never talked about. Like my sister was the one that like taught me to like put a tampon in. She's the first person that said like the word sex around me and stuff like that. So luckily I had an older sister, but it was just like kind of ignored. And sex ed is so fucking terrible. But yeah, like obviously you're open about the stuff with your kids, but did you ever, and you have a younger kid too. So
yeah.
What's your approach?
I think that my approach with my oldest son was probably a little different than with my younger son. Mm-hmm. Reason being, they have two different dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to get into it right in this episode, but mm-hmm. I had a very difficult relationship with my oldest son's father. We're really cool now, but at the time, things were difficult, and I parented out of a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of, like, messing up and him, you know what I mean? I don't know, trying to take my kid away, basically. So, when he would come home with, like, those little pamphlets that about, like, sex and whatever, I would always just ask, like, oh, okay, like, you guys talk about this and whatever, like, is there anything that you don't understand, anything you want to talk about? And my oldest son is a little bit more, like, private, so he didn't really want to discuss it. He was mm-hmm. like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, okay. So I left it alone, and for a couple reasons. Because I think that you don't want to make them uncomfortable, like, more than they already are. Like,
mm-hmm.
And like, out of respect of their boundaries too, right? Like,
yeah.
you don't want to just force it on them. With my youngest son, things are pretty different. With him, it's pretty different because he's, like, my husband and I's child. And he's more open and inquisitive and stuff. So I have the same approach. Like, the school will send home, like, a thing for all those really uptight parents that says, okay, like, sex ed's coming up and we're going to talk about blah, 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 blah. And so they kind of give you a heads up, so mm-hmm. which is great, you know, so you're kind of prepared that you know this could happen. But I just ask them, I'm like, oh, like, did you guys have, you know, a health class today? What did you guys talk about? And he'll let me know. And if he has questions, like, I'm like, okay, like, this is what it is. And I don't get super technical about it, but I'm not like super slang about it. I'm pretty just, you know, he's like, what is sex? And I'm like, okay, like, did you learn about penises and vaginas? And he's like, yeah, but I'm, you know, okay, like, this is what intercourse is. And, you know, like, this is how it is. And he's like, okay, like, that's cool. So I usually just leave it to him, or if I hear him say something, I'll be like, do you know what that means? And he'll be like, he'll tell me what he thinks it means. And I'm like, okay, like, do you want to know what it really means? And we just have these conversations like that. But I don't sit them down and have, like, a big, all right, this is the only talk you're going to get. We're going to sit at the kitchen table. It's going to be super fucking uncomfortable. And yeah, mm-hmm. like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to keep it. I don't know. Let's keep things chill.
Yeah. Did they teach them only, like, penis and vagina sex? Like, when you said that, I was like, ooh, I hope they're not only, because sex is obviously so many different things to different people.
I think when they get older grades, like, I think into high school maybe, or, like, you know, that eighth grade kind of mark, I think they might teach them about other kinds of sex, like oral sex and things like that. And I think they talked about, like, trans people. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that me and him did talk a little bit about trans, because I think that there's a trans boy in his class, which kids are fantastic and amazing, because he didn't really think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He was just like, oh, like, this is so-and-so. But, you know, last year they were so-and-so. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, like, how do you feel about that? And he's like, it's whatever, like, this is this person. I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like it's that cut and dry. And I mean, people could correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know.
I do think the next generation is becoming more open to it. I mean, at least I hope, because people my age and older, I'm sure your age is even worse, because they're less accustomed to it, but they're like, why do we need to use pronouns? It's like, holy fuck, you know? I don't always introduce myself with my pronouns, but in certain spaces I will. Like, if it feels like, okay, this is the time to do it, like, I'll make sure I do it, and I'm always down. Like, if everyone else is doing it, I'm not going to end up using my pronoun, but I don't think about it all the time, because I'm privileged enough to be, like, yeah. cisgender and straight and present as, you know.
I don't know. Like, I don't, that's kind of hard. Like, I don't want it to sound like I don't recognize and celebrate people's differences. I do. I think I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, that person is gay. That person is trans. That person is a lesbian or pan or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, they're still a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's the most interesting thing about them, or the thing that you should use to identify them. Do you know what I'm saying? It depends. Making any sense.
No, it does. It depends who you talk to. Like, I've talked to different people in the community, any of them. And it really depends who you're talking to. Like, some people are like, I don't need to, you know, tell you blah, blah, blah. But some people are very much like, okay, this is, I don't want you to, like, for example, if someone called you like him, you'd be like, that's so annoying. Why are you calling me him? Versus like, they're feeling already ostracized and then you're calling them her when they don't want to be called that.
No, I would never misgender someone. Like, mm-hmm. like if they were like, if this person says, you know, I'm she, her, and he, him, I'm never going to disrespect that.
Yeah.
I think I just don't put a whole bunch of emphasis on like, okay, this is Tim and Tim is gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, Tim is gay and whatever, but Tim also, I don't know, has this really cool job, or we have this really cool hobby in common. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And like, And I think it all plays a part, and it depends on our situation. As, for example, like I said, like as a white cisgender straight la la la, la one like privileged woman, I and like also like straight sized, which we can talk about in future episodes about body image. But as that, it's easy to say like, oh, I don't care about your pronouns. I don't care about your sexuality. I don't care about your race. Which, okay, I don't, like, I love you no matter what. It's better to say that I don't care. It's like, I recognize that you have these experiences and you have less privilege in the world around me. And I need mm-hmm. to recognize that, because, you know, I'm like your ally. So I am aware of how you present, how you identify in the world, and that I naturally in society have more privilege. So I do see that, you know what I mean? Instead mm-hmm. of saying like, I don't care about that. It's like, it's the language. It's like, I do care about that. I still love you or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, don't want to misunderstand.
I'm not saying for you. Right, I'm just saying this is how like people talk about it these days.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like I recognize it and I see it and I do understand that my privilege of being like a white lady, mm-hmm. you know,
Karen, I'm just kidding.
I'm a white lady that definitely does. I look straight, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I look how I look.
Yeah,
but I think like you don't want to make just like assumptions. I think based on somebody's appearance,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, I look gay more than you,
right? You do actually.
I'm kidding. No, all my gay friends say it. They're like, Deanna, are you sure? They're literally, Deanna, is there something you need to tell me all the time? Like my best like guy friend, he's, I don't know how he identifies now, bisexual, pansexual, whatever. He likes dudes more than everyone else, but he's, you know, like you, he likes people, and he'll always be like, so any boyfriends, girlfriends, and like, you know, he just like mutters away, he's like, anyone, and I'm like, shut up, buddy, you're so funny though. And he's like, how about like asking me about my best girlfriend who's bisexual, he's like, how about her? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, we've been best friends for 10 years. That is, if something would have happened, it would have happened. I'm like, ew, no, she's my best friend. Like, that's not even close. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally almost all of my friends have experiences now with same gender, same sex. And so it's funny. But another one was like we lived together for a bit. In school, and she'd be like, oh my god, you look more gay than me. And she was like dating girls at the time, and she's like, holy fuck. But we would always laugh whenever we had like hats on and like baggy outfits. We're like, wow, we look gay. It's just like, obviously it's just funny because she is and stuff. I don't actually think that there's like a look, but and then I'll be like, oh my god, another girl hit on me at the bar. Why is it girls that hit on me and not guys? We're the whatever. And then she's like, have you seen yourself? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not wearing a skirt up my asshole. But yeah, just, I mean, and then sometimes I'm super feminine. It's just, it is what it is. I like comfy, more masculine clothes. I'm literally wearing a baggy fucking long sleeve and jeans that are six sizes too big with hole in the knees and Crocs. So just for people to understand.
You are dressed a little like my brother-in-law right now.
Yeah. A hot brother-in-law. But anyways, yeah, I'm, for the most part.
I think you're with a beard, though. So, I mean, you guys don't look alike. Mm-hmm. Sort of dressed similar right now, though.
Yeah.
He was telling me all of his Crocs. He was here, like, trying to convince me to wear Crocs. Like, okay, friend, it's cool that you want to live your life like that. You know, this is your life decision to wear Crocs. But, homie, don't play that. I'm gonna
get you Crocs.
No, man, I'm gonna wear my Uggs. I'm an Uggy girl, mm-hmm. and I'm just not. It's just they're so comfortable.
That's the point with Crocs.
Like, I go from Birkenstocks in the summer straight to Uggs in the winter. And if I have to put on like big people shoes, uh-huh. I'm a little sad about it. Like, oh, you have to go to this event, so you have to wear these really cute flats.
I hate flats.
Like, ugh, they're all right, fine. But like, as soon as I rip them off, I'm like in the car in my Uggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I went from Birks to Crocs with the fur line, but I also have my Uggs rocking. But I'm a Docs person. It's just hard to put them on, and also when I came here, I threw my Crocs.
Yeah,
but everyday Docs, which again, also a little bit. Little bit butch vibes.
I've seen this thing on Instagram. It was like, you know, you're in a group of lesbians when, and then it's like shows their footwear at this party. Which was, I guess I can only assume that they're mostly lesbians because they were like all wearing Docs. Not because they were all wearing Docs, but they were all wearing Docs in this thing. And it was like, all right, like, I guess that's something to look out for. I don't know. I'm a product of the 90s and everybody wore Docs, so mm-hmm. to me it's not like I don't, you know, walk around nowadays and go, ha, lesbian.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh cool, like the 90s fashion is coming back, I love this.
Oh my god, when I got my nose pierced, or was it, I used to have my nipples pierced. Again, if my family's listening, why are you listening?
Stop.
They definitely knew, they could see them through the shirt. But I remember, I forget if it was my nose or my nipples, but my friend who I lived with at the time, that's bi, I don't know how she identifies now, but she was like, okay, well, it has to be on this side, otherwise people are going to think you're a lesbian. I'm like, what the fuck? How is that? I don't remember if it was nose ring, because I feel like that's weird, maybe, to have that on the side. But you know how guys have, like, certain earrings are supposed to mean? I don't know.
I think,
but,
like,
I just got both my nipples pierced because I was like, I don't know. I don't think I need to match.
It used to be a thing, like, way back, like, in, like, the 80s and probably, like, the early 90s that, like, guys could only have, like, and I think, I want to say it was the right ear that they were allowed to have pierced.
Allowed?
I don't know, like, because the left ear was the gay ear or something, which is fucking crazy. I'm like, really? Does an ear make you gay? Like, I don't think it does, but I was watching something recently that was talking about, like, the flags hanging out the back pockets.
Huh.
And for gay men, like, different handkerchief means a different thing.
Is this a TikTok thing?
No, actually. I was watching American Horror Story.
Okay.
It was a couple seasons ago because I don't have cable and I only stream things. Mm-hmm. And so I get the season when I get it. But there was like a little bit of a part of the episode that was discussing these little kerchief things, and I was like, my god, like, how interesting. So if any like gay men are listening that know about this, please, like, I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you call in, you message me, you whatever, we are going to discuss, because I'm just so curious.
Yeah,
because I just don't, I yeah, I heard about it and I was like, oh my god, this is a genius.
But is it only in the show?
No, I think it's actually a thing. I mean,
okay, well, let me call my friends in the community.
It may think it's like only a thing from like the 80s, 90s. Like, I don't know, mm-hmm. if it's still a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah. But it was cool because it was like, okay, so if you wear, now I'm probably not relaying this properly, I'm just making up colors. Mm-hmm. If you wear a green kerchief, you're like into, you're a top. Or if you wear a red one, you're a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you wear a black one, you're like a leather daddy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So you don't have to, you know, go through this,
yeah,
I don't know, Tinder fucking date of like, what do you like? What do you like? Like, you're just both like, oh my god, you're red and you're a green. Perfect. Like,
yeah.
I love it.
That is genius. I wonder. Maybe that's the thing to bring out the gay buyers. You're just like, you just wave it in the air and wait for someone to walk towards you.
I think they even like hang it out their back pocket.
No, I know, but if it was like trying to be subtle back then, that could be a thing in public. But like if you're in a gay bar.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I love gay bars. They're great.
I haven't had
trying to break my friend is like in the process of like a long time trying to come out. And I'm like, lady, it's okay. So like finally I convinced her to put her apps to like any gender. And so she has been like slowly stepping towards it, but I'm like, I will go to a gay bar with you at any point, you know.
Can I come?
Yeah, of course. Please, let's do it.
Oh my God.
It's great content.
Yes.
I think the closest would be.
Because I've never actually been to a gay bar.
What?
No. I mean, I don't really, I don't know. Like, I went out and stuff, like, around Brantford, but, and I would go as far as, like, Burlington, I think, to go out. But, I didn't always have, I didn't get my driver's license until I was 25.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And by the time I was 25, I had a young son. So mm-hmm. it's not like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not to knock those moms that like go out to bars and do whatever, like you do, you boo. I'm not here to judge, but I, you know,
she was tired.
Yeah. It's tiring. And at the time I worked mm-hmm. in a bar.
True. So you were at the bar.
I was at the bar and I had a great time,
mm-hmm.
you know, like music and being pretty and dancing around and doing whatever. Like it was kind of like, get going out with getting paid for it. So
literally that's why I work. And I'm like, please don't, like, I want to work till 11 so I don't have to go out and spend money and be hungover. I'd rather work and get paid.
Yeah. But I'm like, I would love to go to a gay bar.
Let's do it.
Yes.
I've been only to ones in London. They actually got in trouble with like not letting drag people perform or something. There's like this thing where they were like getting attacked because they had new owners and it was like a thing. So I think it's still open. I'll have to look into it. But hey, it was super fun.
The gay bar wouldn't let.
There was something. Yeah. You know, when like it was a big thing, like a few months ago, I'm really bad at time stamps. Maybe over the last year where like people were saying like drag queens were fucking unsafe and they like weren't letting them into like certain places, which they're the most safe people ever. We're gonna make this episode too long, but anyways,
what do you mean they're unsafe?
I have no idea. I think it's like small town minded people.
London is a very might be considered a city,
yeah,
but London is the equivalent to my hometown, but it on is. A bigger scale.
It is 100%. There's a lot of, because it's the closest big city to that small town.
Yeah.
Oops, we're giving it away a little bit, but it's like,
well, there's a lot of little small towns.
Yeah, there is. Anyways, so I think, and I only saw this from my sex therapist. She posted something about they had new owners and that owner was like not open to having a drag show or something. And then everyone, obviously, because all the gay community in London would have been like supportive of drag. So they were like mad at this business owner. I don't know.
The bar was a gay bar.
The bar was a gay bar, but then they got a new owner and it's still a gay bar. But I wonder if they're not actually, you know, what if the owner might be straight and a little bit homophobic, but he just thought it as a big opportunity. I don't know. I can't speak because I don't know. Guys, don't come attack me. But all I know is that I hope it's still open and I hope they figured that out and that there's good owners in there. And maybe it was a misunderstanding. I haven't looked into it. I just saw a thing on Instagram.
Okay. It's very confusing.
It is very confusing. But anywho, there is a gay bar in London and it was fun. And like I said, I went to a school that was very like hip. I went to Western, but the program was like very like hippie, social justice, feminism, gender studies, like all this stuff was included in my program. So there was a lot of people who were like, I don't even know. There's a lot of varying people in my program is what I'm trying to say. It was also very female dominated. But yeah, there was a lot of people in the pride community. And so we would like run events at this gay bar. And like, that's where we would do events, which was so fun. So we did one night was CEOs in office hoes. So it was really funny. Just like wearing little scandalous like business outfit. That was really fun. But yeah, it was like at a gay bar. I don't want to say the name. I don't know. I think there's maybe more than one and blah, blah, blah. So ignore me if I am wrong or, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
I think there's one in Hamilton, Burlington. This girl lives closer to Toronto area. So We'll have to go out and shimmy and shake.
Yeah, man.
But you're going to be late to open your store, so let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. I am going to be late to open my store.
You got to go sell some vibrators. Let's go.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time, follow Cassie on Instagram at GetSomeBrant and Dee on Instagram and TikTok at Vitamin.Dee.